at the king's table every day. As long as Jehoiakim lived, he was paid a daily allowance to buy whatever he needed.
This ends Jeremiah, narrated by Jack Garrett. And now, Lamentations, narrated by Barbara Caruso.
Lamentations. About this book. This book is a collection of 5 poems expressing deep sorrow about the destruction of Jerusalem. The poems, sometimes called laments, are presented as being spoken by the city of Jerusalem and by the writer, who is called the prophet in the CEV. The prophet realized that Jerusalem was being punished because its people had sinned, but the suffering seemed greater than what their sins deserved. Still, there was hope. Someday, God would be merciful again if the people would give up their sins and turn back to him. Lonely Jerusalem. The prophet speaks. Chapter 1. Jerusalem, once so crowded, lies deserted and lonely. This city that was known all over the world is now like a widow. This queen of the nations has been made a slave. Each night, bitter tears flood her cheeks. None of her former lovers are there to offer comfort. Her friends have betrayed her and are now her enemies. The people of Judah are slaves, suffering in a foreign land, with no rest from sorrow. Their enemies captured them and were terribly cruel. The roads to Zion mourn because no one travels there to celebrate the festivals. The city gates are deserted. Priests are weeping. Young women are raped. Zion is in sorrow. Enemies now rule the city and live as they please. The Lord has punished Jerusalem because of her awful sins. He has let her people be dragged away. Zion's glory has disappeared. Her leaders are like deer that cannot find pasture. They are hunted down till their strength is gone. Her people recall the good life that once was theirs. Now they suffer and are scattered. No one was there to protect them from their enemies who sneered when their city was taken. Jerusalem's horrible sins have made the city a joke. Those who once admired her now hate her instead. She has been disgraced. She groans and turns away. Her sins had made her filthy, but she wasn't worried about what could happen. And when Jerusalem fell, it was so tragic. No one gave her comfort when she cried out, "Help! I'm in trouble, Lord. The enemy has won." Zion's treasures were stolen. Jerusalem saw foreigners enter her place of worship, though the Lord had forbidden them to belong to his people. Everyone in the city groans while searching for food. They trade their valuables for barely enough scraps to stay alive. Jerusalem speaks. Jerusalem shouts to the Lord, "Please look and see how miserable I am. No passerby even cares. Why doesn't someone notice my terrible sufferings? You were fiercely angry, Lord, and you punished me worst of all. From heaven you sent a fire that burned in my bones. You set a trap for my feet and made me turn back. All day long you leave me in shock from constant pain. You have tied my sins around my neck, and they weigh so heavily that my strength is gone. You have put me in the power of enemies too strong for me. You, Lord, have turned back my warriors and crushed my young heroes. Judah was a woman untouched, but you let her be trampled like grapes in a wine pit. Because of this I mourn, and tears flood my eyes. No one is here to comfort or to encourage me. We have lost the war. My people are suffering." The prophet speaks. Zion reaches out her hands, but no one offers comfort. The Lord has turned the neighboring nations against Jacob's descendants. Jerusalem is merely a filthy rag to her neighbors. Jerusalem speaks. The Lord was right, but I refuse to obey him. Now I ask all of you to look at my sufferings. Even my young people have been dragged away. I called out to my lovers, but they betrayed me. My priests and my leaders died while searching the city for scraps of food. Won't you look and see how upset I am, our Lord? My stomach is in knots, and my heart is broken because I betrayed you. In the streets and at home, my people are slaughtered. Everyone heard my groaning, but no one offered comfort. My enemies know of the trouble that you have brought on me, and it makes them glad. Hurry and punish them, as you have promised. Don't let their evil deeds escape your sight. Punish them as much as you have punished me because of my sins. I never stop groaning. I've lost all hope. The Lord was like an enemy. Chapter 2. The prophet speaks. The Lord was angry, so he disgraced Zion, though it was Israel's pride and his own place of rest. In his anger he threw Zion down from heaven to earth. The Lord had no mercy. He destroyed the homes of Jacob's descendants. In his anger he tore down every walled city in Judah. He toppled the nation together with its leaders, leaving them in shame. The Lord was so furiously angry that he wiped out the whole army of Israel by not supporting them when the enemy attacked. He was like a raging fire that swallowed up the descendants of Jacob. He attacked like an enemy with a bow and arrows, killing our loved ones. He has burned to the ground the homes on Mount Zion. The Lord was like an enemy. He left Israel in ruins, with its palaces and fortresses destroyed, and with everyone in Judah moaning and weeping. He shattered his temple like a hut in a garden. He completely wiped out his meeting place and did away with festivals and Sabbaths in the city of Zion. In his fierce anger, he rejected our king and priests. The Lord abandoned his altar and his temple. He let Zion's enemies capture her fortresses. Noisy shouts were heard from the temple, as if it were a time of celebration. The Lord had decided to tear down the walls of Zion stone by stone. So he started destroying and did not stop until walls and fortresses mourned and trembled. Zion's gates have fallen face down on the ground. The bars that locked the gates are smashed to pieces. Her king and royal family are prisoners in foreign lands. Her priests don't teach, and her prophets don't have a message from the Lord. Zion's leaders are silent. They just sit on the ground, tossing dirt on their heads and wearing sackcloth. Her young women can do nothing but stare at the ground. My eyes are red from crying. My stomach is in knots, and I feel sick all over. My people are being wiped out, and children lie helpless in the streets of the city. A child begs its mother for food and drink, then blacks out like a wounded soldier lying in the street. The child slowly dies in its mother's arms. Zion, how can I comfort you? How great is your pain? Lovely city of Jerusalem, how can I heal your wounds, gaping as wide as the sea? Your prophets deceived you with false visions and lying messages. They should have warned you to leave your sins and be saved from disaster. Those who pass by shake their heads and sneer as they make fun and shout. What a lovely city you were, the happiest on earth, but look at you now. Zion, Your enemies curse you and snarl like wild animals, while shouting, "This is the day we've waited for. At last we've got you." The Lord has done everything that he had planned and threatened long ago. He destroyed you without mercy, and let your enemies boast about their powerful forces. Zion, deep in your heart you cried out to the Lord. Now let your tears overflow your walls day and night. Don't ever lose hope, or let your tears stop. Get up and pray for help all through the night. Pour out your feelings to the Lord, as you would pour water out of a jug. Beg him to save your people, who are starving to death at every street crossing. Jerusalem speaks. Think about it, Lord. Have you ever been this cruel to anyone before? Is it right for mothers to eat their children, or for priests and prophets to be killed in your temple? My people, both young and old, lie dead in the streets. Because you were angry, my young men and women were brutally slaughtered. When you were angry, Lord, you invited my enemies like guests for a party. No one survived that day. Enemies killed my children, my own little ones. There is still hope. Chapter 3. The Prophet Speaks. I have suffered much because God was angry. He chased me into a dark place where no light could enter. I am the only one he punishes over and over again without ever stopping. God caused my skin and flesh to waste away, and he crushed my bones. He attacked and surrounded me with hardships and trouble. He forced me to sit in the dark like someone long dead. God built a fence around me that I cannot climb over, and he chained me down. Even when I shouted and prayed for help, he refused to listen. God put big rocks in my way and made me follow a crooked path. God was like a bear or a lion waiting in ambush for me. He dragged me from the road, then tore me to shreds. God took careful aim and shot his arrows straight through my heart. I am a joke to everyone. No one ever stops making fun of me. God has turned my life sour. He made me eat gravel and rubbed me in the dirt. I cannot find peace or remember happiness. I tell myself I am finished. I can't count on the Lord to do anything for me. Just thinking of my troubles and my lonely wandering makes me miserable. That's all I ever think about, and I am depressed. Then I remember something that fills me with hope. The Lord's kindness never fails. If he had not been merciful, we would have been destroyed. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning. Deep in my heart, I say, the Lord is all I need. I can depend on him. The Lord is kind to everyone who trusts and obeys him. It is good to wait patiently for the Lord to save us. When we are young, it is good to struggle hard and to sit silently alone, if this is what the Lord intends. Being rubbed in the dirt can teach us a lesson. We can also learn from insults and hard knocks. The Lord won't always reject us. He causes a lot of suffering, but he also has pity because of his great love. The Lord doesn't enjoy sending grief or pain. Don't trample prisoners under your feet or cheat anyone out of what is rightfully theirs. God Most High sees everything, and he knows when you refuse to give someone a fair trial. No one can do anything without the Lord's approval. Good and bad each happen at the command of God Most High. We're still alive. We shouldn't complain when we are being punished for our sins. Instead, we should think about the way we are living and turn back to the Lord. When we lift our hands in prayer to God in heaven, we should offer Him our hearts and say, "We've sinned. We've rebelled against You, and You haven't forgiven us." Anger is written all over you as you pursue and slaughter us without showing pity. You are behind a wall of clouds that blocks out our prayers. You allowed nations to treat us like garbage. Our enemies curse us. We are terrified and trapped, caught and crushed. My people are destroyed. Tears flood my eyes and they won't stop until the Lord looks down from heaven and helps. I am horrified when I see what enemies have done to the young women of our city. No one had reason to hate me, but I was hunted down like a bird. Then they tried to kill me by tossing me into a pit and throwing stones at me. Water covered my head. I thought I was gone. From the bottom of the pit, I prayed to You, Lord. I begged You to listen. "Help," I shouted, "save me." You answered my prayer and came when I was in need. You told me, "Don't worry." You rescued me and saved my life. You saw them abuse me, Lord, so make things right. You know every plot they have made against me. Yes, You know their insults and their evil plans. All day long they attack with words and whispers. No matter what they are doing, they keep on mocking me. Pay them back for everything they have done, Lord. Put Your curse on them and make them suffer. Get angry and go after them until not a trace is left under the heavens. The Punishment of Jerusalem. Chapter 4. The Prophet Speaks. The purest gold is ruined and has lost its shine. Jewels from the temple lie scattered in the streets. These are Zion's people, worth more than purest gold, yet they are counted worthless like dishes of clay. Even jackals nurse their young, but my people are like ostriches that abandon their own. Babies are so thirsty that their tongues are stuck to the roof of the mouth. Children go begging for food, but no one gives them any. All who ate expensive foods lie starving in the streets. Those who grew up in luxury now sit on trash heaps. My nation was punished worse than the people of Sodom, whose city was destroyed in a flash without the help of human hands. The leaders of Jerusalem were purer than snow and whiter than milk. Their bodies were healthy and glowed like jewels. Now they are blacker than tar, and no one recognizes them. Their skin clings to their bones and is drier than firewood. Being killed with a sword is better than slowly starving to death. Life in the city is so bad that loving mothers have boiled and eaten their own children. The Lord was so fiercely angry that He burned the city of Zion to the ground. Not a king on this earth or the people of any nation believed enemies could break through her gates. Jerusalem was punished because her prophets and her priests had sinned and caused the death of innocent victims. Yes, her prophets and priests were covered with blood. No one would come near them as they wandered from street to street. Instead, everyone shouted, "Go away, don't touch us. You're filthy and unfit to belong to God's people." So they had to leave and become refugees. But foreign nations told them, "You can't stay here. The Lord is the one who sent them scattering, and He has forgotten them. No respect or kindness will be shown to the priests or leaders. Our eyes became weary, hopelessly looking for help from a nation that could not save us. Enemies hunted us down on every public street. Our time was up. Our doom was near. They swooped down faster than eagles from the sky. They hunted for us in the hills and set traps to catch us out in the desert. The Lord's chosen leader was our hope for survival. We thought he would keep us safe somewhere among the nations. But even he was caught in one of their traps. You people of Edom can celebrate now. But your time will come to suffer and stagger around naked. The people of Zion have paid for their sins, and the Lord will soon let them return home. But people of Edom, you will be punished and your sins exposed. A Prayer for Mercy. Chapter 5. The people of Jerusalem pray. Our Lord, don't forget how we have suffered and been disgraced. Foreigners and strangers have taken our land and our homes. We are like children whose mothers are widows. The water we drink and the wood we burn cost far too much. We are terribly mistreated. We are worn out and can find no rest. We had to surrender to Egypt and Assyria because we were hungry. Our ancestors sinned, but they are dead, and we are left to pay for their sins. Slaves are now our rulers, and there is no one to set us free. We are in danger from brutal desert tribes. We must risk our lives just to bring in our crops. Our skin is scorched from fever and hunger. On Zion and everywhere in Judah, our wives and daughters are being raped. Our rulers are strung up by their arms, and our nation's advisors are treated shamefully. Young men are forced to do the work of slaves. Boys must carry heavy loads of wood. Our leaders are not allowed to decide cases in court, and young people no longer play music. Our hearts are sad. Instead of dancing, we mourn. Zion's glory has disappeared. And we are doomed because of our sins. We feel sick all over and can't even see straight. Our city is in ruins, overrun by wild dogs. You will rule forever, Lord. You are king for all time. Why have you forgotten us for so long? Bring us back to you. Give us a fresh start. Or do you despise us so much that you don't want us?
This ends Lamentations, narrated by Barbara Caruso. Prophets of the Old Testament, Part 3. Ezekiel, narrated by Pete Bradbury.
Ezekiel, about this book. Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet. He had been taken away as a prisoner to Babylonia, where he lived among the other exiles from Judah. The Lord chose Ezekiel to be his prophet and to preach his message, not only to the exiles in Babylonia, but also to the people still living in Jerusalem. Ezekiel's ministry probably began around 593 B.C., during the last years of the kingdom of Judah, and it ended sometime around 570 B.C., several years after the fall of Jerusalem, 586 B.C. Ezekiel preached before and after this horrible disaster, and so some of his messages threatened judgment, and others offered hope. The book of Ezekiel can be divided into five main parts. The first part describes Ezekiel's vision of the Lord's glory, and tells how the Lord appointed Ezekiel to be his prophet. The second part includes several messages warning the people of Judah that they will soon be punished for turning away from the Lord. Ezekiel acted out many of these warnings. And the third part of the book includes the Lord's judgments on nearby nations. The fourth part of the book is made up of Ezekiel's messages after he heard that Jerusalem had been captured. These are messages of hope. The Lord promises he will forgive his people and bring them back to Judah and Jerusalem. Finally, the fifth part of the book is Ezekiel's vision of the new temple in Jerusalem, its regulations for proper worship, and how the restored land of Israel will be divided among the tribes. When the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, he calls him Son of Man. Although this expression shows that Ezekiel is a mere human, it also shows that he has been appointed to preach the Lord's message to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Ezekiel sees the Lord's glory. Chapter 1. I am Ezekiel, a priest and the son of Buzi. 5 years after King Jehoiakim of Judah had been led away as a prisoner to Babylonia, I was living near the Kibar River among those who had been taken there with him. Then on the fifth day of the fourth month of the 30th year, the heavens suddenly opened. The Lord placed his hand upon me and showed me some visions. I saw a windstorm blowing in from the north. Lightning flashed from a huge cloud and lit up the whole sky with a dazzling brightness. The fiery center of the cloud was as shiny as polished metal, and in that center I saw what looked like four living creatures. They were somewhat like humans, except that each one had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, but their feet looked like the hoofs of calves and sparkled like bronze. Under each of their wings, these creatures had a human hand. The four creatures were standing back to back with the tips of their wings touching. They moved together in every direction without turning their bodies. Each creature had the face of a human in front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of a bull on the left, and the face of an eagle in back. Two wings of each creature were spread out and touched the wings of the creatures on either side. The other two wings of each creature were folded against its body. Wherever the four living creatures went, they moved together without turning their bodies, because each creature faced straight ahead. The creatures were glowing like hot coals, and I saw something like a flaming torch moving back and forth among them. Lightning flashed from the torch every time its flame blazed up. The creatures themselves moved as quickly as sparks jumping from a fire. I then noticed that on the ground beside each of the four living creatures was a wheel shining like chrysolite. Each wheel was exactly the same and had a second wheel that cut through the middle of it so that they could move in any direction without turning. The rims of the wheels were large and had eyes all the way around them. The creatures controlled when and where the wheels moved. The wheels went wherever the four creatures went and stopped whenever they stopped. Even when the creatures flew in the air, the wheels were beside them. Above the living creatures, I saw something that was sparkling like ice, and it reminded me of a dome. Each creature had two of its wings stretched out toward the creatures on either side, with the other two wings folded against its body. Whenever the creatures flew, their wings roared like an ocean, or a large army, or even the voice of God all-powerful. And whenever the creatures stopped, they folded their wings against their bodies. When the creatures stopped flapping their wings, I heard a sound coming from above the dome. I then saw what looked like a throne made of sapphire, and sitting on the throne was a figure in the shape of a human. From the waist up, it was glowing like metal in a hot furnace, and from the waist down, it looked like the flames of a fire. The figure was surrounded by a bright light, as colorful as a rainbow that appears after a storm. I realized I was seeing the brightness of the Lord's glory, so I bowed with my face to the ground, and just then I heard a voice speaking to me. The Lord chooses Ezekiel. Chapter 2. The Lord said, "Ezekiel, son of man, I want you to stand up and listen." After he said this, his spirit took control of me and lifted me to my feet. Then the Lord said, "Ezekiel, I am sending you to the people of Israel. They are just like their ancestors who rebelled against me and refused to stop. They are stubborn and hard-headed, but I, the Lord God, have chosen you to tell them what I say." Those rebels may not even listen, but at least they will know that a prophet has come to them. Don't be afraid of them or of anything they say. You may think you're in the middle of a thorn patch or a bunch of scorpions. but be brave and preach my message to them, whether they choose to listen or not. Ezekiel, don't rebel against me, as they have done. Instead, listen to everything I tell you. And now, Ezekiel, open your mouth and eat what I am going to give you. Just then I saw a hand stretched out toward me, and in it was a scroll. The hand opened the scroll, and both sides of it were filled with words of sadness, mourning, and grief. Chapter 3. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, after you eat this scroll, go speak to the people of Israel. He handed me the scroll and said, Eat this and fill up on it. So I ate the scroll, and it tasted sweet as honey. The Lord said, Ezekiel, I am sending you to your own people. They are Israelites, not some strangers who speak a foreign language you can't understand. If I were to send you to foreign nations, they would listen to you. But the people of Israel will refuse to listen because they have refused to listen to me. All of them are stubborn and hard-headed, so I will make you as stubborn as they are. You will be so determined to speak my message that nothing will stop you. I will make you hard like a diamond, and you'll have no reason to be afraid of those arrogant rebels. Listen carefully to everything I say, and then think about it. Then go to the people who were brought here to Babylonia with you, and tell them you have a message from me, the Lord God. Do this whether they listen to you or not. The Spirit lifted me up, and as the glory of the Lord started to leave, I heard a loud thundering noise behind me. It was the sound made by the creature's wings as they brushed against each other, and by the rumble of the wheels beside them. Then the Spirit carried me away. The Lord's power had taken complete control of me, and I was both annoyed and angry. When I was back with the others living at Abib Hill near the Kibar River, I sat among them for 7 days, shocked at what had happened to me. The Lord appoints Ezekiel to stand watch. 7 days after I had seen the brightness of the Lord's glory, the Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, I have appointed you to stand watch for the people of Israel. So listen to what I say, then warn them for me. When I tell wicked people they will die because of their sins, you must warn them to turn from their sinful ways so they won't be punished. If you refuse, you are responsible for their death. However, if you do warn them, and they keep on sinning, they will die because of their sins, and you will be innocent. Now suppose faithful people start sinning, and I decide to put stumbling blocks in their paths to make them fall. They deserve to die because of their sins. So if you refuse to warn them, I will forget about the times they were faithful, and I will hold you responsible for their death. But if you do warn them, and they listen to you and stop sinning, I will let them live, and you will be innocent. Ezekiel cannot talk. The Lord took control of me and said, Stand up, go into the valley, and I will talk with you there. I immediately went to the valley where I saw the brightness of the Lord's glory, just as I had seen near the Kibar River, and I bowed with my face to the ground. His Spirit took control of me and lifted me to my feet. Then the Lord said, Go back and lock yourself in your house. You will be tied up to keep you inside, and I will make you unable to talk or to warn those who have rebelled against me. But the time will come when I will tell you what to say, and you will again be able to speak my message. Some of them will listen, others will be stubborn and refuse to listen. Ezekiel acts out an attack on Jerusalem. Chapter 4. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, find a brick and sketch a picture of Jerusalem on it. Then prepare to attack the brick as if it were a real city. Build a dirt mound and a ramp up to the top and surround the brick with enemy camps. On every side, put large wooden poles as though you were going to break down the gate to the city. Set up an iron pan like a wall between you and the brick. All this will be a warning for the people of Israel. After that, lie down on your left side and stay there for 390 days as a sign of Israel's punishment, one day for each year of its suffering. Then turn over and lie on your right side 40 more days. That would be a sign of Judah's punishment, one day for each year of its suffering. The brick stands for Jerusalem, so attack it. Stare at it and shout angry warnings. I will tie you up so you can't leave until your attack has ended. Get a large bowl. Then mix together wheat, barley, beans, lentils, and millet, and make some bread. This is what you will eat for the 390 days you are lying down. Eat only a small loaf of bread each day, and drink only 2 large cups of water. Use dried human waste to start a fire, then bake the bread on the coals where everyone can watch you. When I scatter the people of Israel among the nations, they will also have to eat food that is unclean, just as you must do. I said, Lord God, please don't make me do that. Never in my life have I eaten food that would make me unacceptable to you. I've never eaten anything that died a natural death, or was killed by a wild animal, or that you said was unclean. The Lord replied, Instead of human waste, I will let you bake your bread on a fire made from cow manure. Ezekiel, the people of Jerusalem will starve. They will have so little food and water that they will be afraid and hopeless. Everyone will be shocked at what is happening, and because of their sins, they will die a slow death. Jerusalem's coming destruction. Chapter 5. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, get a sharp sword and use it to cut off your hair and beard. Weigh the hair and divide it into 3 equal piles. After you attack the brick that stands for Jerusalem, burn 1 pile of your hair on the brick. Chop up the 2nd pile and let the small pieces of hair fall around the brick. Throw the 3rd pile into the wind, and I will strike it with my own sword. Keep a few of the hairs and wrap them in the hem of your clothes. Then pull out a few of those hairs and throw them in the fire so they will also burn. This fire will spread, destroying everyone in Israel. I am the Lord God, and I have made Jerusalem the most important place in the world, and all other nations admire it. But the people of Jerusalem rebelled and refused to obey me. They ignored my laws and have become even more sinful than the nations around them. So tell the people of Jerusalem, I am the Lord God. You have refused to obey my laws and teachings, and instead you have obeyed the laws of the surrounding nations. You have become more rebellious than any of them. Now all those nations will watch as I turn against you and punish you for your sins. Your punishment will be more horrible than anything I have ever done or will ever do again. Parents will be so desperate for food that they will eat their own children, and children will eat their parents. Those who survive this horror will be scattered in every direction. Your disgusting sins have made my temple unfit as a place to worship me. So I swear by my own life that I will turn my back on you and show you no pity. 1/3 of you will die here in Jerusalem from disease or starvation. 1/3 will be killed in war. And I will scatter the last 1/3 of you in every direction, then track you down and kill you. You will feel my fierce anger until I have finished taking revenge. Then you will know that I, the Lord, was furious because of your disobedience. Every passerby will laugh at your destruction. Foreign nations will insult you and make fun of you, but they will also be shocked and terrified at what I did in my anger. I will destroy your crops until you starve to death, and disasters will strike you like arrows. Starvation and wild animals will kill your children. I'll punish you with horrible diseases, and your enemies will strike you down with their swords. I, the Lord, have spoken. Israel is doomed. Chapter 6. The Lord God said, Ezekiel, son of man, face the hills of Israel and tell them, Listen, you mountains and hills and every valley and gorge. I, the Lord, am about to turn against you and crush all the places where foreign gods are worshipped. Every altar will be smashed, and in front of the idols I will put to death the people who worship them. Dead bodies and bones will be lying around the idols and the altars. Every town in Israel will be destroyed to make sure that each shrine, idol, and altar is smashed. Everything the Israelites made will be a pile of ruins. All over the country your people will die, and those who survive will know that I, the Lord, did these things. I will let some of the people live through this punishment, but I will scatter them among the nations, where they will be prisoners. And when they think of me, they will realize that they disgraced me by rebelling and by worshipping idols. They will hate themselves for the evil things they did, and they will know that I am the Lord, and that my warnings must be taken seriously. The Lord God then said, Ezekiel, beat your fists together and stomp your feet in despair. Moan in sorrow because the people of Israel have done disgusting things, and now will be killed by enemy troops, or they will die from starvation and disease. Those who live far away will be struck with deadly diseases. Those who live nearby will be killed in war, and the ones who are left will starve to death. I will let loose my anger on them. These people used to offer incense to idols at altars built on hills and mountaintops and in the shade of large oak trees. But when they see dead bodies lying around those altars, they will know that I am the Lord. I will make their country a barren wasteland, from the southern desert to the town of Dibla in the north. Then they will know that I, the Lord, have done these things. Disaster is near. Chapter 7. The Lord God said, Ezekiel, son of man, tell the people of Israel that I am saying, Israel will soon come to an end. Your whole country is about to be destroyed as punishment for your disgusting sins. I, the Lord, am so angry that I will show no pity. I will punish you for the evil you've done, and you will know that I am the Lord. There's never been anything like the coming disaster, and when it comes, your life will be over. You people of Israel are doomed. Soon there will be panic on the mountaintops instead of celebration. I will let loose my anger and punish you for the evil things you've done. You'll get what you deserve. Your sins are so terrible that you'll get no mercy from me. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have punished you. Disaster is near. Injustice and arrogance are everywhere, and violent criminals run free. None of you will survive the disaster, and everything you own and value will be shattered. The time is coming when everyone will be ruined. Buying and selling will stop, and people who sell property will never get it back, because all of you must be punished for your sins, and I won't change my mind. A signal has been blown on the trumpet, and weapons are prepared for battle. But no one goes to war, because in my anger I will strike down everyone in Israel. Israel is surrounded. The Lord said to the people of Israel, War, disease, and starvation are everywhere. People who live in the countryside will be killed in battle, and those who live in towns will die from starvation or deadly diseases. Anyone who survives will escape into the hills, like doves who leave the valleys to find safety. All of you will moan because of your sins. Your hands will tremble, and your knees will go limp. You will put on sackcloth to show your sorrow, but terror will overpower you. Shame will be written all over your faces, and you will shave your heads in despair. Your silver and gold will be thrown into the streets like garbage, because those are the two things that led you into sin, and now they cannot save you from my anger. They are not even worth enough to buy food. You took great pride in using your beautiful jewelry to make disgusting idols of foreign gods, so I will make your jewelry worthless. Wicked foreigners will rob and disgrace you. They will break into my temple and leave it unfit as a place to worship me, but I will look away and let it happen. Your whole country is in confusion. Murder and violence are everywhere in Israel, so I will tell the most wicked nations to come and take over your homes. They will put an end to the pride you have in your strong army, and they will make your places of worship unfit to use. You will be terrified and will desperately look for peace, but there will be no peace. One tragedy will follow another, and you'll hear only bad news. People will beg prophets to give them a message from me. Priests will stop teaching my law, and wise leaders won't be able to give advice. Even your king and his officials will lose hope and cry in despair. Your hands will tremble with fear. I will punish you for your sins and treat you the same way you have treated others. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel sees the terrible sins of Jerusalem. Chapter 8. 6 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, the leaders of Judah were meeting with me in my house. On the 5th day of the 6th month, the Lord God suddenly took control of me, and I saw something in the shape of a human. This figure was like fire from the waist down, and it was bright as polished metal from the waist up. It reached out what seemed to be a hand and grabbed my hair. Then, in my vision, the Lord's Spirit lifted me into the sky and carried me to Jerusalem. The Spirit took me to the north gate of the temple's inner courtyard, where there was an idol that disgusted the Lord and made him furious. Then I saw the brightness of the glory of the God of Israel, just as I had seen it near the Kibar River. God said to me, "Ezekiel, son of man, look north." And when I did, I saw that disgusting idol by the altar near the gate. God then said, "Do you see the terrible sins of the people of Israel? Their sins are making my holy temple unfit as a place to worship me, and you will see even worse things than this." Next, I was taken to the entrance of the courtyard, where I saw a hole in the wall. God said, "Make this hole bigger." And when I did, I realized it was a doorway. "Go in," God said, "and see what horrible and evil things the people are doing." Inside, I saw that the walls were covered with pictures of reptiles and disgusting, unclean animals, as well as with idols that the Israelites were worshipping. 70 Israelite leaders were standing there, including Jaazaniah, son of Shaphan. Each of these leaders was holding an incense burner, and the smell of incense filled the room. God said, "Ezekiel, do you see what horrible things Israel's leaders are doing in secret? They have filled their rooms with idols, and they say I can't see them because they think I have already deserted Israel. But I will show you something even worse than this." He took me to the north gate of the temple, where I saw women mourning for the god Tammuz. God asked me, "Can you believe what these women are doing? But now I want to show you something worse." I was then led into the temple's inner courtyard, where I saw about 25 men standing near the entrance between the porch and the altar. Their backs were to the Lord's temple, and they were bowing down to the rising sun. God said, "Ezekiel, it's bad enough that the people of Judah are doing these disgusting things, but they have also spread violence and injustice everywhere in Israel and have made me very angry. They have disgraced and insulted me in the worst possible way. So in my fierce anger, I will punish them without mercy and refuse to help them when they cry out to me." The Lord gives the command to punish Jerusalem. Chapter 9. After that, I heard the Lord shout, "Come to Jerusalem, you men chosen to destroy the city, and bring your weapons." I saw 6 men come through the north gate of the temple, each one holding a deadly weapon. A 7th man, dressed in a linen robe, was with them, and he was carrying things to write with. The men went into the temple and stood by the bronze altar. The brightness of God's glory then left its place above the statues of the winged creatures inside the temple and moved to the entrance. The Lord said to the man in the linen robe, "Walk through the city of Jerusalem and mark the forehead of anyone who is truly upset and sad about the disgusting things that are being done here." He turned to the other 6 men and said, "Follow him, and put to death everyone who doesn't have a mark on their forehead. Show no mercy or pity. Kill men and women, parents and children. Begin here at my temple, and be sure not to harm those who are marked." The men immediately killed the leaders who were standing there. Then the Lord said, "Pollute the temple by piling the dead bodies in the courtyards. Now get busy." They left and started killing the people of Jerusalem. I was then alone, so I bowed down and cried out to the Lord, "Why are you doing this? Are you so angry at the people of Jerusalem that everyone must die?" The Lord answered, "The people of Israel and Judah have done horrible things. Their country is filled with murderers, and Jerusalem itself is filled with violence. They think that I have deserted them, and that I can't see what they're doing. And so I will not have pity on them or forgive them. They will be punished for what they have done. Just then the man in the linen robe returned and said, I have done what you commanded. The Lord's glory leaves the temple. Chapter 10. I saw the dome that was above the four winged creatures, and on it was the sapphire throne. The Lord said to the man in the linen robe, Walk among the four wheels beside the creatures, and pick up as many hot coals as you can carry. Then scatter them over the city of Jerusalem. I watched him as he followed the Lord's instructions. The winged creatures were standing south of the temple when the man walked among them. A cloud filled the inner courtyard, and the brightness of the Lord's glory moved from above the creatures and stopped at the entrance of the temple. The entire temple was filled with his glory, and the courtyard was dazzling bright. The sound of the creature's wings was as loud as the voice of God All-Powerful, and could even be heard in the outer courtyard. The man in the robe was now standing beside a wheel. One of the four creatures reached its hand into the fire among them and gave him some of the hot coals. The man took the coals and left. I noticed again that each of the four winged creatures had what looked like human hands under their wings, and I saw the four wheels near the creatures. These wheels were shining like chrysolite. Each wheel was exactly the same, and had a second wheel that cut through the middle of it, so that they could move in any direction without turning. The wheels moved together whenever the creatures moved. I also noticed that the wheels in the creatures' bodies, including their backs, their hands, and their wings, were covered with eyes. And I heard a voice calling these the wheels that spin. Each of the winged creatures had four faces. The face of a bull, the face of a human, the face of a lion, and the face of an eagle. These were the same creatures I had seen near the Kibar River. They controlled when and where the wheels moved. The wheels went wherever the creatures went, and stopped whenever they stopped. Even when the creatures flew in the air, the wheels stayed beside them. Then I watched the brightness of the Lord's glory move from the entrance of the temple and stop above the winged creatures. They spread their wings and flew into the air with the wheels at their side. They stopped at the east gate of the temple, and the Lord's glory was above them. I knew for sure that these were the same creatures I had seen beneath the Lord's glory near the Kibar River. They had four wings with hands beneath them, and they had the same four faces as those near the river. Each creature moved straight ahead without turning. Ezekiel condemns Jerusalem's wicked leaders. Chapter 11. The Lord's Spirit lifted me up and took me to the east gate of the temple, where I saw 25 men, including the two leaders, Jaazaniah, son of Azur, and Pelatiah, son of Benaiah. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, these men are making evil plans and giving dangerous advice to the people of Jerusalem. They say things like, Let's build more houses. This city is like a cooking pot over a fire, and we are the meat. But at least the pot keeps us from being burned in the fire. So Ezekiel condemned them. The Lord's Spirit took control of me and told me to tell these leaders, I, the Lord God, know what you leaders are saying. You have murdered so many people that the city is filled with dead bodies. This city is indeed a cooking pot, but the bodies of those you killed are the meat. And so I will force you to leave Jerusalem, and I'll send armies to attack you, just as you fear. Then you will be captured and punished by foreign enemies. You will be killed in your own country, but not before you realize that I, the Lord, have done these things. You leaders claim to be meat in a cooking pot, but you won't be protected by this city. No, you will die at the border of Israel. You will realize that while you are following the laws of nearby nations, you are disobeying my laws and teachings. And I am the Lord. Before I finished speaking, Pelatiah dropped dead. I bowed down and cried out, Please, Lord God, don't kill everyone left in Israel. A promise of hope. The Lord replied, Ezekiel, son of man, the people living in Jerusalem claim that you and the other Israelites who were taken to Babylonia are too far away to worship me. They also claim that the land of Israel now belongs only to them. But here is what I want you to tell the Israelites in Babylonia. It's true that I, the Lord God, have forced you out of your own country and made you live among foreign nations. But for now, I will be with you wherever you are, so that you can worship me. And someday, I will gather you from the nations where you are scattered, and let you live in Israel again. When that happens, I want you to clear the land of all disgusting idols. Then I will take away your stubbornness and make you eager to be completely faithful to me. You will want to obey me in all my laws and teachings. You will be my people, and I will be your God. But those who worship idols will be punished and get what they deserve. I, the Lord God, have spoken. The Lord's glory leaves Jerusalem. After the Lord had finished speaking, the winged creatures spread their wings and flew into the air, and the wheels were beside them. The brightness of the Lord's glory above them left Jerusalem and stopped at a hill east of the city. Then, in my vision, the Lord's Spirit lifted me up and carried me back to the other exiles in Babylonia. The vision faded away, and I told them everything the Lord had shown me. Ezekiel acts out Israel's captivity. Chapter 12. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, you are living among rebellious people. They have eyes but refuse to see. They have ears but refuse to listen. So before it gets dark, here is what I want you to do. Pack a few things as though you were going to be taken away as a prisoner. Then go outside where everyone can see you and walk around from place to place. Maybe as they watch, they will realize what rebels they are. After you have done this, return to your house. Later that evening, leave your house as if you were going into exile. Dig through the wall of your house and crawl out, carrying the bag with you. Make sure everyone is watching. Lift the bag to your shoulders, then with your face covered, take it into the darkness, so that you cannot see the land you are leaving. All of this will be a warning for the people of Israel. I did everything the Lord had said. I packed a few things. Then, as the sun was going down and while everyone was watching, I dug a hole through one of the walls of my house. I pulled out my bag, then lifted it to my shoulders and left in the darkness. The next morning, the Lord reminded me that those rebellious people didn't even ask what I was doing. So he sent me back to tell them. The Lord God has a message for the leader of Jerusalem and everyone living there. I have done these things to show them what will happen when they are taken away as prisoners. The leader of Jerusalem will lift his own bag to his shoulders at sunset and leave through a hole that the others have dug in the wall of his house. He will cover his face so he can't see the land he is leaving. The Lord will spread out a net and trap him as he leaves Jerusalem. He will then be led away to the city of Babylon, but will never see that place even though he will die there. His own officials and troops will scatter in every direction, and the Lord will track them down and put them to death. The Lord will force the rest of the people in Jerusalem to live in foreign nations, where they will realize that he has done all these things. Some of them will survive the war, the starvation, and the deadly diseases. That way they will be able to tell foreigners how disgusting their sins were, and that it was the Lord who punished them in this way. A sign of fear. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, shake with fear when you eat, and tremble when you drink. Tell the people of Israel that I, the Lord, say that someday everyone in Jerusalem will shake when they eat, and tremble when they drink. Their country will be destroyed and left empty, because they have been cruel and violent. Every town will lie in ruins, and the land will be a barren desert. Then they will know that I am the Lord. The words of the Lord will come true. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, you've heard people in Israel use the saying, time passes and prophets are proved wrong. Now tell the people that I, the Lord, am going to prove that saying wrong. No one will ever be able to use it again in Israel, because very soon everything I have said will come true. The people will hear no more useless warnings and false messages. I will give them my message, and what I say will certainly happen. Warn those rebels that the time has come for them to be punished. I, the Lord, make this promise. Ezekiel, the people of Israel are also saying that your visions and messages are only about things in the future. So tell them that my words will soon come true, just as I have warned. I, the Lord, have spoken. Lying Prophets, Chapter 13. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, condemn the prophets of Israel who say they speak in my name, but who preach messages that come from their own imagination. Tell them it's time to hear my message. I, the Lord God, say those lying prophets are doomed. They don't see visions. They make up their own messages. Israel's prophets are no better than jackals that hunt for food among the ruins of a city. They don't warn the people about coming trouble or tell them how dangerous it is to sin against me. Those prophets lie by claiming they speak for me, but I have not even chosen them to be my prophets. And they still think their words will come true. They say they're preaching my messages, but they are full of lies. I did not speak to them. So I am going to punish those lying prophets for deceiving the people of Israel with false messages. I will turn against them and no longer let them belong to my people. They will not be allowed to call themselves Israelites, or even to set foot in Israel. Then they will realize that I am the Lord God. Those prophets refuse to be honest. They tell my people there will be peace, even though there's no peace to be found. They are like workers who think they can fix a shaky wall by covering it with paint. But when I send rainstorms, hailstones, and strong winds, the wall will surely collapse. People will then ask the workers why the paint didn't hold it up. That wall is the city of Jerusalem. And I, the Lord God, am so angry that I will send strong winds, rainstorms, and hailstones to destroy it. The lying prophets have tried to cover up the evil in Jerusalem, but I will tear down the city all the way to its foundations. And when it collapses, those prophets will be killed, and everyone will know that I have done these things. The city of Jerusalem and its lying prophets will feel my fierce anger. Then I will announce that the city has fallen, and that the lying prophets